And now for something completely different.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Let's do it.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We're back with plenty to do over the next couple of hours with you till 3 on this Tuesday with plenty to do between now and then. Coming up, the latest ruling involving the NCAA. Plus, we're down to the final four in the NBA postseason. How we got here. Plus, Zion Williamson is apparently unhappy. What other coaches actually think of the Gamecocks? Major League Baseball has started their crackdown. I'll tell you about my tales of traveling, where I was right and wrong with the NBA postseason so far. Got to get to our Tuesday top 10. Phil Mickelson was a hypocrite over the weekend. We'll break down the U.S. Open later on with Jeremy Schilling, and a whole lot more over the next couple of hours. You can join the conversation throughout the afternoon, 843-721-9500 to give us a call. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734. You can get to us on Twitter, at Morrow Middays, on Facebook, at ESPN Charleston, via email, studio@kirkmanbroadcasting.com, or head on over to our website, charlestonsportsradio.com, where there you can leave a comment for the show. You can find the latest versions of the show podcasted, or you can take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go by simply streaming us online at charlestonsportsradio.com. With you till 3 on this Tuesday, we're back. Joe's on the steel wheels. Joe, what's going on? How are you?
You look so familiar. Do I know you from somewhere?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's good to be back, though. We got a lot to do. I won't get to everything today. I got a lot of opinions, a lot of thoughts. I've been sitting around for a couple of days, seeing everything go. You know, what did I miss? What happened? We had a couple of Game 7s. We're down to the Final Four in the NBA. We have some unhappy players. We had the Supreme Court ruling against the NCAA yesterday. Not much going on. Major League Baseball changing everything. Now checking pitchers finally yesterday, sending us potentially into a new era moving forward. That's all. That's all we have to do to get caught up on. Today, tomorrow, throughout the week, get back into the flow of things. Let me start with this. What happened yesterday with the news, the announcement, or really the ruling from the Supreme Court when they ruled a unanimous decision 9-0 against the NCAA and their setup? And Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh said in regards to the NCAA that the NCAA's business model would be flatly illegal in almost any other industry in America. He had much longer quotes, and he really dug the knife deep into, you can't even say the back, it was right in their face, into the bodies of the NCAA. He delivered quite the body blow. He followed up this morning, another quote that's making the rounds. He said the NCAA couches its arguments for not paying student athletes in innocuous labels, but the labels cannot disguise the reality that the NCAA's business model would be flatly illegal in almost any other industry in America. Right, that was the extended quote. He really drove that home. Now, it's different. It's hard to compare the NCAA to, well, any other industry in America, because while the kids don't get paid a monetary sum, they don't get a salary, they don't get a stipend, they don't get a portion of the money made through the programs, we've talked about this until we turn blue in the face, the benefits that these athletes can get, whether it's a free education, whether it's the publicity, whether it's the opportunities after their playing days. Right, like, for example, Jay Billis would not be where he is today if he didn't play at Duke. He didn't play in the NBA. He played at Duke, and now he's got a pretty nice job at ESPN covering college basketball. He's made plenty of money over the years. Yeah, he was also a lawyer. He was an assistant coach for Duke for a little while. Someone like Doug Gottlieb, who will admit it himself, he wouldn't be here today in terms of that position, that role. If it wasn't for his college career, he didn't play in the NBA. There's a lot of guys. We could go on and on. There's a lot of people that you get certain opportunities afterwards because you were a college athlete. Right, it helps you down the road. It's almost like the internship for the college student that leads to a better job when you come out of college. leads you to your profession, your industry, helps you get to that point, right? I did a bunch of internships in college, helped me get here today. Now, there are certain things that the athletes should be able to do. I've always been pro name, image, and likeness. I think that's something that should come to college sports. The athlete should be able to make money off of their social media account or their own jersey sales, or if you're going to put them in a video game, that's fine. And this ruling yesterday was also talking about more opportunities for the athletes, whether it's in terms of being able to get a job or being able to get a laptop or certain things for school, which they already can, but extending those abilities, which I'm fine with as well. There are a lot of archaic ideas in the NCAA system. I tell the story all the time that we were out to eat once with the Citadel basketball team. And on the way out, they had one of those machines where you have the claw and you try to grab, you know, a stuffed animal or something out of the machine. And one of the players wanted to take a crack at it. And he asked one of the coaches, like, hey, you have a quarter? Right, that's how much it was. It was like 25 cents. You got a quarter so I could play this? I want to try to get something. And the coach says, sorry, I can't give you, that'd be a violation. I can't give you a quarter. Right, something like that is ridiculous. That should be allowed. You go out to a restaurant as a team. The kid needs to borrow a quarter to play one of the little games. The coach should be able to give him a quarter. That shouldn't be a problem. Right, when you take your kids out, I heard Mike Greenberg talk about this yesterday. If you have kids in college and you go meet them at college, you go visit them, you want to take them out to dinner, take them out to lunch, take them and their friends out, you could do it if your child is a regular college student. But if they're an athlete, right, you can't take him and his teammates out. That would be considered an illegal benefit. You can't take your kid and his teammates out for lunch. That's not allowed. Silly things like that. The Citadel, the issues that they ran into with some of their athletes this past year were because those athletes spent the money that they got through their scholarship on some things outside of textbooks, right, at the bookstore. They bought, whether it was a phone charger, right, something else like that. Maybe headphones. Oh, that's not allowed. You got to use that money only on textbooks, things for actual class. Now, the headphones may be for class, you know, a phone charger, whatever, a new laptop. Those things could be for class, but it has to fit within the NCAA's rule. There's a lot of things like that that should be changed as well. So I'm for name, image, and likeness. I'm for some more freedoms, such as the athlete's ability to get a job in the summer like a normal college student or have a job on the side if it doesn't interfere. But if we get to the point where we're talking about paying these athletes or giving them a stipend or a portion of the money made, that would change the NCAA for good. Right? The Olympic sports don't make money. We know how this works. It's not just a lot of people getting fat and happy off of college football players. This money is then put back into the system for the majority. Now, the fact that Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA, makes $4 million a year, yeah, not a great look. Right now, he's getting fat and happy. He's getting rich off of this whole setup. But the schools themselves, the majority of the money they make, they reinvest, whether it's in the program or to be able to support other programs. Sure, Dabo Sweeney gets $10 million a year, and Nick Saban and some of these other coaches get paid a hell of a lot. But I'll tell you what, and I've always said this, for the athletes that believe they're most important to the school, I think it's the other way around. There's a reason why you want to go to Alabama or play for Nick Saban. And yeah, sure, he wants you on his team as well, but if he's not going to get you, he'll find another player that can fill those shoes. I actually think Saban, Dabo, those guys are more important than the players themselves because they're the ones that are going to stay there longer. They're the ones that are going to build the brand. And the guys that go to the school, the athletes that go to the schools, believe that people are supporting the programs because of them is not the case. Really, who they should be thanking are the players that came before them that helped build that brand. You're going to go to Clemson football regardless of the players. It's about the brand. It's about the players that have come before and helped build that program. It's not about the guys, the freshmen that just came in. That's not why you renewed your season tickets. It's because you're a Clemson fan. Right? You root for the team, the laundry, the program, the tradition, because you went there. Your father went there. Somebody went there. Or because of something done in the past, the job that Deshaun Watson did to help build up that program to get them to where they are now currently, allowing these other kids opportunities. And it's a very complicated thing or matter where it's hard to compare to other industries. You know, like Brett Kavanaugh said, this would be illegal everywhere else. Yeah, but, you know, they're getting a free education. They're having the ability to work with some of the best coaches to be able to go on and potentially have professional careers and make millions and do what they love. There's no overtime. It'd be like if you weren't getting paid, but you got all the benefits. Right? You had health care and like 401k. You didn't have an actual salary. Maybe you were an unpaid intern. I've done plenty of those, unpaid internships. Have you ever been an unpaid intern? Did you ever get any sort of benefits out of it? Or did you ever have your hours restricted? Did you ever have the ability to sit down with like tutors to help you do better at what you're working on? there are plenty of other benefits as well outside of the money that can be hard to quantify or qualify with what these kids get from being college athletes. Now, what could this mean moving forward? We'll find out. This wasn't some sort of death blow for the NCAA, at least not yet. Maybe it could turn into one. Dennis Dodd was talking about this on CBS Sports. And Dennis Dodd, of course, covers college sports. Here's what Dennis had to say, his reaction yesterday on CBS Sports HQ in regards to this decision from the Supreme Court.
The NCAA had to know this day was coming. The case itself is not very broad. It just says the court upheld a lower court decision that, as you mentioned, schools can award for educational benefit, things like computers, internships, stuff like that. What the NCAA was worried about was this beer would turn into heroin, and they'd be offering cars and being recruiting inducements. Well, guess what? We're way past that with the black market that goes on now in recruiting. But it was the rebuke of the Supreme Court, 9-0 of their arguments, that were so surprising. And now that combined with coming NIL legislation and the benefits that are going to come from that, it's basically going to be unlimited what players can earn while they're in school, which is probably the way it should be, because it's been hypocritical all these years for the NCAA and its rules to say athletes must conduct themselves and get no more benefits than the regular student. Now that's going to be the case. They can have their own YouTube channel. They can have their own business. They can model. They can have autographs. They can have endorsements. But this is, to me, Chris, this is the end of amateurism as we know it in the NCAA. Whether that's good or bad, it's just going to be a different NCAA. It's going to, you know, oversee eligibility enforcement. And like I told Matt, they're going to have a heck of a party every March. But that's what the NCAA is going to be into the future. They're kind of sidelined by this.
Dennis Dodd yesterday on CBS Sports, that it could kind of be the end of the NCAA. Paul Feinbaum was talking about this on ESPN's Get Up this morning. He was a little more succinct, and he was a little more dramatic in Feinbaum's reaction to yesterday's ruling by the Supreme Court.
This is the end of the NCAA as we know it. The funeral hasn't happened yet. The last rites have not been uttered, but it's over for the NCAA. It won't happen tomorrow. It won't happen next week, but the next lawsuit will bury the NCAA, and Judge Kavanaugh said that yesterday.
Maybe overdramatic, maybe hyperbolic, but there's a chance that Feinbaum could be right. This isn't necessarily the end of the NCAA. The fight will go on, but this could be the fatal blow that has been struck yesterday by the Supreme Court. We'll see how things change moving forward. I think athletes should be given more opportunities or rights. Make money off your name, image, and likeness. Be able to get a job in the offseason. But you also have to make sure you still draw that line somewhere. That I don't believe athletes should be getting a portion of the money made or getting a salary or stipend, because that would change everything, and I don't think for the better. Coming up, did LeBron James have a point? We have reached the final four teams of the NBA playoffs. How did we get here? Is it a good outcome? We'll get to that when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Coming up, we have reached the final four teams of the NBA playoffs. How do we get here? And did LeBron James have a point over the weekend? It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. I don't know if it'll wash away your troubles or your pain, but it's definitely raining out there. Coming down pretty good this morning. There's weather in the forecast all week. The River Dogs are home this week. I got tickets to give away for the River Dogs. And I also have an announcement about regarding the River Dogs that we'll get to at some point, probably tomorrow, maybe today, we'll see. But hopefully the weather stays away this week. Go out and watch some baseball. We have some tickets to give away later on in the week. Stay tuned for that. We're down to the final four teams of the NBA playoffs, and we're left without one of the top 15 selling jerseys. Right? If you had the 15 jerseys that were the top selling this year, none of those 15 players are still remaining. Is it good for the NBA? We'll find out. We'll see what the ratings look like. But LeBron James had some harsh criticism for the league a few days ago. And I haven't been on the air, of course, since Wednesday, so I haven't been able to address it, but wanted to do so now. We'll play a little catch-up here today, maybe tomorrow, on some things that have happened over the last couple of days while we've been off the air. But it's also tied into what we're seeing right now, because the Nets were just eliminated over the weekend. The Clippers won't be able to get past Phoenix without Kawhi Leonard. And so LeBron had this long post on social media. He said, "They all didn't want to listen to me about the start of the season. I knew exactly what would happen. I only wanted to protect the well-being of the players, which ultimately is the product and benefit of our game. These injuries isn't just part of the game. It's the lack of pure rim rest before starting back up. 8, possibly 9 All-Stars have missed playoff games, most in league history. This is the best time of the year for our league and fans, but missing a ton of our favorite players, it's insane. If there's one person that knows about the body and how it works all year round, it's me. I speak for the health of all our players, and I hate to see this many injuries this time of year. Sorry, fans. Wish you guys were seeing all of your favorite guys right now." LeBron James on social media. Now, injuries in the NBA postseason are not surprising. They happen every year. We've talked about this ad nauseum the last few weeks. And the NBA responded to these comments by saying, once again, reiterating that the injury rate has remained the same this year than years past. It just becomes a bigger deal and certainly more impactful when it's the stars getting injured. We know that. You don't care so much when it's the 9th guy on the roster getting injured, but when it's an all-star, that makes a difference. And that's been the case this year. We have had a record 9 all-stars injured this postseason. We're watching the Clippers and the Suns in the Western Conference Finals without Kawhi Leonard, and though not because of an injury, Chris Paul unavailable on the other side. But these injuries that we've seen, are they because of the shortened season? Are they because they quickly got back into the season and then played 72 games in a short amount of time? You know, more of anything reveals who you are. More money reveals someone's true character. Money doesn't change you. It reveals who you really are when you no longer have to be nice. Same thing with alcohol. If you're a friendly drunk, it's because you're a friendly guy, right? Maybe you're an angry drunk. Maybe you're touchy-feely after a few drinks. Maybe you're a laugher, right? Removing that inhibition is revealing. You find out who someone really is. They tell you the truth after a few drinks, right? Now they're honest with you. They tell you what they hate about their boss. You never heard them talk about that before. Adversity reveals someone's true character. Ratchet up the adversity, you see what someone is truly made of. And for athletes, pressure can show you what an athlete is made of. Guys can be great in the regular season, but you turn up that pressure in the postseason, you find out what a player is truly made of. Things always reveal, more of anything can be revealing, right? Which is ironic. Less clothing can be revealing, but more of anything else, substances, emotions, reveals what a person is really like. And it's the same thing with injuries. Because look at who has been injured. Anthony Davis, who's never played a full season in his career. He's been injured 8 of 9 NBA seasons. Kyrie Irving, who showed up on the injury report 24 times the last 4 years. He was injured at Duke. He had knee surgery a couple of years ago. He was injured again this year. Kawhi Leonard, who's never been able to make it through a full season, hence the invention of load management. James Harden, who has never been hurt. He's always been able to be counted on, but he showed up overweight this year. He wasn't taking care of himself. Jamal Murray, he's been injured all 3 years in the league. He missed the second game of his career because of an injury. He got injured as soon as his career started. Missed 6 games after making his debut. Joel Embiid, another one who's been injured this postseason, has always been injured. He was injured at draft time. Right? He's been injured each of the last 5 seasons. These are guys who have always been injured. If you increase someone's bank account, you see what they're really like. If you go out for a bunch of drinks, you find out what someone is really like or what they really think. And if you increase the amount of games played in a certain amount of time, you'll just find out what these guys' bodies are really made of. And to no surprise, the injury-prone players are the ones that are only getting further injured. If you had me do a workout, and I'm not the most fit person, but if you had me do a workout and you had a 70-year-old man do the same workout, I would hope I could handle it better. It wouldn't be as taxing on me. Just like it's not as taxing this year on most of these guys, compared to the beat-up bodies of an Anthony Davis, a Kawhi Leonard, a Kemba Walker. That's why load management was created, because these guys can't make it through the games to begin with. But what the NBA or these teams or these executives may think is the cure could actually be the problem. Because then you look at the Milwaukee Bucks, who have played their starters more than anyone this year. And yet, here they still are. Their stars are healthy. Yeah, DiVincenzo is injured, but I'm talking about the real stars. With Drew Holiday and Giannis and Chris Middleton, they've been fine, despite playing a lot of games in a shorter amount of time and now playing throughout the postseason, while other teams have already gone home. Is it a problem for the NBA? Maybe. We'll see. Right? If we get a finals matchup of the Hawks and the Suns, that may not be great for the league. We'll see what happens. But I'll tell you what, I've enjoyed this postseason more than most. I think this playoff has been great. We've had great games. We've had long series. We've had a few upsets. We've seen new blood. We've seen young stars take over. Trae Young, Devin Booker. You see almost a changing of the guard in the league instead of the same three guys every year. Instead of watching LeBron and Steph Curry and then maybe even Kevin Durant in the finals. But with all that said, we also have to mention, A, some of these guys are planning to play in the Olympics in a month. So for a good portion of the league, they still haven't played enough basketball this year. So while LeBron was saying, right, we should have pushed the season back or we should have played fewer games or whatever the point may be, well, there's a lot of players in the league that are turning around and heading to Japan, to Tokyo, next month, a few weeks from now for the Olympics. They want to play even more. B, the question would be, what was the alternative? We can all complain. I'm guilty of this. I'll come on here and I'll complain without offering a real solution. We can all complain about something, but can you come up with a better alternative? Can you come up with a solution? You may not have been happy with when the NBA started their season or the amount of games they played or the short amount of time, but what would be the alternative? That would be playing fewer games, which would mean less money for the players. I don't think the players would have preferred that. I think you'd take an injury while still getting paid instead of making it through the season without any injuries and getting paid less. And C, most of these injuries, if we're being real here, if we're being honest, most of these injuries were freak injuries that could have happened after a six-month layoff anyways. You could have had a six-month offseason, come back, first game of the night, these injuries could have happened. Kyrie Irving coming down on Giannis's foot. That has nothing to do with fatigue. A lot of these guys' injuries have nothing to do with fatigue. It's not a worn-out injury. It's just a freakish injury that occurs when you're playing basketball. But this is why we have resumes, right? To show you who you are, or to show somebody else who you are. And this season has just showed us who these guys are. The injury-prone stars have only been more injured. Everyone else has been fine. Yeah, there have been nine All-Stars injured, but then you go back and you look at the guys who have been injured. And you realize, oh yeah, these are just the players who are always injured anyways. This just maybe has ramped things up for Anthony Davis, for Kawhi, for Jamal Murray, for Joel Embiid, for Kemba Walker. Almost like the pandemic. Right, there were a lot of restaurants or just businesses in general that were already struggling. Then the pandemic came along. It just kind of ramped things up. It kind of rushed you along, moved things at a faster pace. Like, you were already teetering. That company probably wasn't going to last much longer. Then the pandemic came and wiped them out. You know, like Anthony Davis was probably going to get injured at some point, but now they were playing more games in a shorter amount of time. Maybe the injury just came sooner. Or maybe it was a worse injury, right? A longer recovery than normal. It's just ramping things up, but it's the same guys that always get injured. And now, forcing them to play more games in less amount of time, well, of course, it's just going to lead to more injuries for those guys. We're down to the final four teams, and maybe not four teams you were expecting. Later on this afternoon, I'll let you know where I was right and where I was wrong. We'll do that again, as we're now another round deep into the NBA postseason. When we come back, Zion Williamson, South Carolina's own. Zion Williamson is apparently unhappy. He and his family, unhappy with the Pelicans they may want out of New Orleans. It's the Mara Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Mara Midday Show.
Coming up, Zion Williamson and his family apparently unhappy. May want a change of scenery. We'll get to that here in the Mara Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Don't stop the- You ever have a problem around the house? Think I can't fix that? Don't worry, because the Cantney Foundation Specialist can. Check them out online, CantneyCanFixIt.com, or give them a call, 843-484-3625, because Cantney knows how tough it can be to find a contractor that you can trust. So they offer warranted solutions and a free, no-obligation estimate for all foundation repair services. And this time of year, you're out in the yard, you're running around, you don't have the shoes on. I mean, maybe not today. It's rainy out there, muddy. You don't want the kids outside getting all dirty. But you got to protect your toes when you're running around in the yard, or the kids are, or you're out at the pool, or you're wearing the flip-flops. So if you have concrete around your home that's cracked or uneven, such as a sidewalk, driveway, patio, pool deck, the Cantney Foundation Specialists offer the repair options you need to help you protect the look of your concrete, the value of your home, and the integrity of your little toes. Contact them for a free estimate, the Cantney Foundation Specialists, online at CantneyCanFixIt.com, or give them a call, 843-484-3625, the Cantney Foundation Specialists. An article came out over the weekend while we were off the air. The Athletic had it. Yahoo Sports had it. Zion Williamson and his family are unhappy in New Orleans after only 2 years. And that didn't take long. They're apparently very upset. Now, this is what Zion's family has done, led seemingly by his stepfather. By all accounts, Zion is a great kid, but his stepfather apparently is difficult to deal with. Remember, Zion was really interested in Clemson. It seemed like he was going to stay in South Carolina, wasn't going to go to one of the big boys. And then in the 11th hour, he wound up at Duke. We now have this other lawsuit going on that seems to show the Williamson family getting paid for Zion to go to Duke. That could change things. Then Zion had hired one agent and then bailed for a bigger agent. And the agent that he bailed on, you know, brought him to court over it. Then Zion had a shoe deal with a China company, a Chinese shoe company, a company in China, bailed on them for Nike. Now he's in New Orleans. He was drafted. That wasn't a choice he made. He's been there for 2 years, and apparently, according to the family, according to reports, whoever the mouthpiece is for the Williamson family or for Zion himself may want to go to a bigger brand. And we can let the Knicks rumors begin after Zion's comments in the past about how much he loves playing in New York. But we all know helicopter parents that can be like that. They always want you to move on to bigger and better things. Maybe they want what's best for you, but also some of them may want what's best for them as well. They want to be able to maximize the opportunity. Usually it's about money, which seems to be the case in the track record here of Zion. When you have a young phenom like that, right, as the parent, by the parent, as the adult, you want to cash in. That's why you're considering going to Clemson, then making a last-minute change to Duke when seemingly the money starts coming in. It's why you're considering one shoe company and then another offers more money and you bail on the first, go to the second. Same with an agent. You go with one agent and you realize, oh, this agent maybe could actually get us more money. Let's go over there. It's been the compass of the decisions made by Zion or his family or his people. And we'll get to the team side of this in just a moment because they're certainly guilty as well. But imagine being the team, the New Orleans Pelicans, David Griffin, and having to worry not only about what your players think, but also about their parents. I mean, we're talking about grown men. We're talking about professionals. It's like, oh, boy, Zion's father isn't very happy. What can we do to make Mr. Williamson happy? That's not who you're paying to come play for you. It's the further effect of AAU basketball on the NBA. Right, these guys are grown men. Who cares what their father has to say? Who cares what Tom Brady's father says in his local radio interviews? Patriots shouldn't be worrying about that. They're paying Tom Brady. He's the one playing for them. His father's unhappy with something? Okay. He's not one of our employees. He doesn't play for us. He's not a professional athlete. I don't care. But how about this? I saw this in an article over the weekend. 8%. Doesn't seem like a lot, but it's definitely too many. 8% of millennials. And yes, I'm a millennial, but I do not fall into this category. 8% of millennials bring their parents with them on a job interview. 3% of millennials actually have their parents then sit in the job interview with them. Could you imagine? Now, before I could, like, drive, my parents would take me to a job interview. I don't think my parents have ever been to any sort of job interview or audition or anything of the like for me in my professional career. Talk about the ultimate Bev Goldberg, your mother sitting in the job interview with you. In fact, we heard stories about players at the NFL draft process, there were players who had their mothers answer the questions for them. Actually, I don't know if that was their choice. It was probably the mother's doing. But she was in the meeting, and when the teams would ask questions, the mother was answering the questions. I would end that's an immediate red flag. If I'm a GM, if I'm a scout, I'm conducting an interview, and the mother is answering questions, I'd say, yeah, we're not drafting you. You can leave now. Go somewhere else. We're not interested. Because the mother isn't going to play for you. I don't care what the mother has to say. I'm drafting the child. Now, he's going to come play for us. He's the one I'm giving millions to. But while I'll give Zion Williamson, his stepfather, a hard time for maybe being too involved in all this, I'll also put the blame on the team as well. Because we all know someone who's in a relationship they don't believe they belong in. They don't think they're good enough for their significant other. There are plenty of people out there. You probably know a few. And so they'll start doing weird things, right? Because they're insecure. They'll act out of character. They'll make rash decisions. They'll try to be someone they aren't. Whatever it is, whatever they believe it takes in order to make the relationship continue. Because they believe they're just holding on. Now, they believe one day they're going to wake up and think, I'm not good enough for them. What are they doing with me? They're too good for me. They're out of my league. So you keep doing these, you act crazy because you're so worried about this. And you want to try to keep it from happening. And by trying to continue the relationship, you're actually blowing it in the process. It's the whole Seinfeld bit, right? When George is trying to out-Neil Neil. He was so preoccupied with trying to be better than this guy Neil that he didn't realize he already was better than Neil. He out-Neiled him. And he was only blowing his opportunity with the woman by instead focusing on outdoing Neil, the other guy in the equation, trying to be better than him, not realizing he already was. He's ruining the relationship in the process. But a lot of smaller organizations are like that in the sports world. The Pelicans are set to hire their third coach in Zion's three-year career. Zion wasn't happy with Alvin Gentry and his rotations, how he used Zion. He spoke about it. He wanted to be playing more. They were being extra cautious with him. Then, according to reports, he did not like, or at least his family, did not like Stan Van Gundy this past year. How he was a yeller. How he's into defense. How he works his guys. I didn't like that. Now we'll see who's hired next. The GM, David Griffin, probably going to be gone soon as well. We have players coming and going. Reportedly, Zion Williamson unhappy with J.J. Redick getting traded this year. Didn't like that. And the Pelicans, they're trying to do whatever they can to continue the relationship. Firing coaches left and right. You don't like this guy? All right, how about this guy? Making changes every few months. Right, just like the guy, sure, honey, whatever you need. They just don't want to let that person slip away. It's like insecure behavior. Insecure in their plan. Insecure in their ability to keep a star and keep them happy. Anthony Davis, their only other star, left for the same reason. He wasn't happy there. They blew it, and they don't want to blow it again. It's like you got dumped by a model and somehow wound up with another model. But you wouldn't want that one to slip away as well. Look at the teams with unhappy stars in the NBA this year. New Orleans, Dallas with Luka, Atlanta with Trae Young. It's why they had to fire Lloyd Pierce. Those three teams. New Orleans, their only other star was Anthony Davis. He left. Dallas, their only other star was Dirk Nowitzki. Atlanta, their only other star was Dominique Wilkins. That was over 30 years ago. These teams are not used to dealing with stars. Like the guy not used to dating models. And he's doing everything he can to hold on because he thinks she's out of his league. And that's what it's going to take. These teams have never had the stars. The ones they have now are the ones who aren't unhappy this year. I would compare it to Cleveland with Baker Mayfield, the Zion Williamson situation. When has Cleveland ever had a good young quarterback? Never. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to develop that kid. They don't know what to do to put the best pieces around him. And much like Zion Williamson, Baker Mayfield had three coaches his first 3 years. It stunts his growth. And now it seems like they finally got it right with Kevin Stefanski, and maybe he can grow. Hopefully the Pelicans get it right with the next coach. Zion likes him. He's good for Zion, and Zion can start to really grow as an NBA player. Right, but the big guys, the big boys, I should say, the big teams, the big brands, they get plenty of stars. They know how to treat them. They know how to keep them because they've done it before. How many stars have wanted to leave Boston in the NBA? Right, the Boston Celtics, how many stars have wanted to leave? I think the only one was Kyrie Irving, and we know he's a weird bird. Otherwise, Bill Russell stayed his entire career, Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, Paul Pierce. Kevin Garnett came to Boston late, loves Boston. He still loves Boston. He was the one all upset when Kyrie stomped on Lucky, the mascot. Right, Kevin Garnett took it personally. He doesn't care about the Timberwolves. In fact, he's not on speaking terms with Minnesota since leaving there, but he loves the Celtics. Now Jason Tatum, I'm sure he'll be there for his career. They don't want to leave. They get there. They want to stay as long as they can. The Lakers, same idea. Magic, Worthy, once Jabbar and Wilt got there, certainly Kobe. He was unhappy for a short amount of time, almost went to the Chicago Bulls, but overall, right, spent his entire career in L.A. and outside of that one offseason was never really talking about leaving. Now LeBron and Anthony Davis wanted to be there, don't want to leave. The only one may have been Shaq, who had an ego issue with Kobe. Even for the Knicks in New York, for as bad as they've been, and for as awful as their owner is, Carmelo Anthony only wanted to go to New York. He did, and he loved it there. He never asked for a trade. He never wanted to be out. The Knicks moved on from him. Right? Apparently, Zion loves New York. He hasn't even played there. Reed and Frazier. Earl the Pearl Monroe wanted to be there. Patrick Ewing. Allen Houston. Even Bernard King. He came back to New York later on. And it's no coincidence. Certain organizations have a long history of stars. They know what they're doing. They've been there. They've done that before. The guys want to be there. They look forward to playing there. The teams that get the stars, they never leave. They're happy. It's a good relationship. And these other cities get stars. They don't know what to do. These stars aren't happy. They want to leave. The teams can never get the coach right, the roster right. They're making changes all the time. Dallas, New Orleans, Atlanta all fired their coaches this year. Right? It's like the guy in the relationship who's never dated a 10 before, and he doesn't think he deserves to. And he's swimming upstream the whole time, just trying to hold on, and it's not going to work that way. That's not how you function in a well-functioning relationship. Young stars in any sport need structure. Zion is in New Orleans for at least another 3 years. Could be as many as five. Zion may become the first rookie to not sign his extension. Leave New Orleans after 3 years. Rookies always sign the extension because that's how they can get the most money. But for a star like Zion, he could go somewhere. Go to New York. He can make a lot of money there. And it seems like that's what the family is always most interested in. But he'll have three coaches now in 3 years. He'll probably have a new GM from a year from now. He's had new teammates all the time. It's not good for a young kid trying to develop in the league. And it's no surprise that it seems like New Orleans is botching this, because that's what these organizations do. Atlanta, even Dallas right now with Luka, they just got rid of their coach, their GM. They're trying to make things better. Certainly New Orleans with Zion Williamson. It happened before with Anthony Davis. These are teams not used to dealing with these stars, these big personalities. They don't know what to do. Even the Orlando Magic, right? Shaq left. He was unhappy. Then here came Dwight Howard. He was unhappy. He bailed as well. They don't know what they're doing. But if you go to Boston, you go to L.A., even go to New York, the teams that are used to it, the teams that have dealt with stars over and over again, they know how to handle these guys. New Orleans doesn't seem to know how to handle Zion, and they, therefore, may lose him. The good news is they got 3 years to make it up, right? Because he's under contract. Unless he really tries to demand a trade like Anthony Davis did or some of these other guys, you got him for 3 years until his contract's up. If he doesn't sign the extension, then he can move freely. He can leave town. But you got a few time. You got a few years here to get it right, and especially this offseason with the next head coach hiring. Coming up, what do other coaches actually think of the Gamecocks? We'll get to that coming up. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Gonna sit down in the kitchen and fix me something good to eat. My head a little high, make the whole day complete. Cause we're gonna lay around the shanty mama and put a good buzz on. Well, pass it to me, baby.
Coming up, what do other coaches actually think of the Gamecocks? The Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. You tell me that this was a song they would use to get you ready for the weekend at the end of Fridays?
Yeah, a lot of radio stations used to have sort of a 5 o'clock on Friday medley,
right.
And this was one of them that was often included. Some of the other ones, of course, Working for the Weekend by Loverboy,
yeah.
Weekend by Wet Willie,
oh.
And let's see, Taking Care of Business by Bachman Turner Overdrive, you know, and they would just put together this little thing they did at 5 o'clock, and it's like, oh, yeah, we've, you know, hit the weekend.
That's right. Well, I've asked this before, you know, this is outdated, I guess. But back in the day, like, what was the record you would put home when you got home from work on Friday at 5 o'clock? What was the go-to song or even album? And probably a little outdated. Now you walk in, you tell Alexa to play a song, right? But what song do you go to? Or when you hop in your car at the end of a Friday, you're driving home, it's a nice day, you got the windows down. What's the go-to song to start the weekend? Now, I'm an old-school kind of guy. I have always said Out in the Street by Bruce Springsteen. you put that song on. Right, you get out of work on a Friday. I mean, it's what the song is about as well. You head into the weekend. You're going out with some friends that night. It's a beautiful. Oh, you throw that song on. You get ready for the weekend. That one there bringing us back. Who's that song by?
Jonathan Edwards.
Oh, I know Jonathan Edwards.
Yeah. So, yeah, the radio stations did that because a lot of people were in their cars at 5 o'clock on Friday.
Yeah, but that song right there from Jonathan Edwards isn't really getting me excited for my weekend.
Well, that, you know, people that have been working all week and, you know, hit the end of the workday on Friday, they want to go home and kick back and.
Sure. I want something a little more upbeat, though. Give me a little Bruce out in the streets. Hey, it's magazine season as we get ready for college football. Trying to get the godfather of the college football preview magazine, Phil Steele, on the show, as you know, we do every year. With that magazine coming out, I think he's shipping them out this week. But it's magazine season. And people we know are always most truthful when they're anonymous. That's why we always have the anonymous sources. So in these preview magazines, they always provide, they always have, you know, the other coaches give an anonymous opinion, thought on the other teams. So this is what other coaches had to say in these magazines about the Gamecocks. First coach said, and of course this is all anonymous, South Carolina is a complete train wreck. If you fire Will Muschamp to hire Shane Beamer, just keep Muschamp. Athletic director Ray Tanner gave Muschamp an extension, and it cost the school a lot of money. Looking back, if a coach at Florida gets fired for taking down Florida, what in your mind makes you think he can make South Carolina better? That's a fair question. Another coach said, I think South Carolina is in a period of 40 years wandering in the desert. They need new athletic administration. They've got great facilities. The boosters are some of the best in the world. When Lou Holtz went 0-11, the South Carolina fans were behind him. They deserve better. Yes, I have always said that. That quote did not come from me. I've always said that. That the fans are too good for the Gamecocks. Right? Sports is the one thing. I remember the line in Fever Pitch. And this was about Jimmy Fallon played a Red Sox fan in the movie. And this was before the Red Sox won the World Series to break the curse. And he was a teacher. And one of his kids said to him, you know, you've always loved the Red Sox. When have they loved you back? Sports is the one thing that no matter what happens, you will always love them. You will always love your teams. Right? You go to a restaurant, you have a bad meal, you're probably never going back. Your team has a bad season, you're coming back next year. You're still supporting them. A director, right? M. Night Shyamalan. You watch two of his films, you think, this guy's trash. You're not watching any more movies. But if your team has two terrible seasons, you're still watching their games. Sports is the one thing that you'll love them more than they love you, and that's the case with the Gamecocks. Right now, Clemson, the team, the program, they've given that love back. But Gamecock fans, you love the program a lot more than the program has loved you. The Gamecock fans are fantastic fans. The program hasn't been good enough. That program is undeserving of the great fan base they have, of the love that's been given to them.
That's for years, especially in the 90s. I was always thinking that Carolina's fan base was probably too loyal to the program for the program's own good. And, of course, it turned around once, you know, we reached the new millennium and Lou Holtz got the Gamecocks to where they could win again.
Yes. Well, it's similar like with the Knicks. Right? Like the Knicks, their fan base is too loyal for their own good because they sell out every game, every season anyways. So they have no incentive to do better. Now, that's a little bit different than college with recruit all this stuff, but – you know, for a team like the Knicks, James Dolan, he could keep putting out. I mean, they were in the playoffs this year. But prior to that, they've been a terrible franchise, and yet they have the most expensive tickets in the league, and they sell out. So he looks around, thinks like, why do I need to invest more money? We're making as much money as we can already. Other quotes from opposing coaches. South Carolina had the worst defense in the SEC other than Ole Miss. Look at all the players they've had drafted on defense. Kinlaw, Wanham, Horn, Jones. It's inexcusable how bad their defense has been. And that was under Will Muschamp, a defensive coach. Hopefully things now change. More quotes from other coaches. Another anonymous coach said, once Muschamp was let go, everything really fell apart. There was a huge difference once he was fired. Plus the injuries and transfers, I don't think they expected to have the hot seat year in 2020. They started really slow on offense and were trying to buy the defense time. Talking to the coaches, the administration had no support for Will, and Ray Tanner couldn't protect him, so it really didn't matter what they did. More quotes from anonymous coaches. Shane Beamer is going to change the offense, but we don't know what that will look like because they don't really have a lot of talent at the skill positions. If they can do it, they'll probably try to run some RPOs. The The upside is, I think Marcus Satterfield is a good offensive coordinator for that operation. He'll mix it up for whatever fits what they've got, which is how a coordinator should do it. Couple last ones. Another coach said, talent-wise, they're pretty thin at wide receiver, and they have no quarterback, so it will be a long summer. Harsh. And lastly, the last quote from an anonymous coach about the Gamecocks, he said, defensively, they're going with a 4-2-5, which is pretty different from what they have done. And much like the offense, they'll probably have to scheme around what they don't have. A lot of their best guys went into the transfer portal when Will was fired. They need to figure out recruiting. They didn't bring in a lot. They could be shoppers in the portal themselves.
In other words, Shane Beamer is a coach with nothing to lose, which makes the Gamecocks a very dangerous team.
Ah, that's one way to swing it, to spin it, the spin cycle. That's what anonymous coaches had to say about the Gamecocks. A lot of it was about moving on from Muschamp. We know Beamer has to now build this thing back up. But that's how the other coaches in the conference or just in college football feel about that program right now. Coming up, hour two, where I was right, where I was wrong about the NBA playoffs. Plus, my stories from traveling over the weekend. It's the Moore Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.